Do you remember what it was like to be 14 years old? And your identity is all over the map, right? You don't know who you are, but it can all change in an instant, right? Like you can go super excited about yourself and feeling great, or like super down in the muck and the mire, all based off of what some 14-year-old girl is about to say or whatever, right? I mean, I think real clearly back to this one day, take you right to the spot in the hallway I was in. I was a freshman in high school. It was like the first month of school. And I'm about to go ask this girl to homecoming. And I know you guys have had these moments when you're a teenager that you know that the next few seconds are going to totally change how you feel about yourself in that moment, right? Like it's either going to be really good or really bad. And I remember being in that hallway, walking super fast, super nervous. And then there's that horribleness of when you actually have to like stop and talk, right? It's a lot easier to be like moving and super nervous, right? So I remember stopping this girl and saying hi, and nonverbals like mean a lot, right? And even though that was like forever ago, I'm 38 now, so the math on that, right? It's like 24 years ago. I can still remember like the nonverbals of how she responded to that hi, right? Because it matters so much. Like you're trying to figure out like what's about to happen. And if you've ever stained a deck that's super old, that old dry wood, you put a little bit of stain in it and it just like crazy sucks it up. That's how a 14-year-old is, right? To approval. It's just like crazy, like how fast it like sucks it up because it's just so dry. And so I asked her to go to homecoming and she said yes, right? And so then I'm on like cloud nine for a second, right? But had she said no, which happened to me at other moments, right? It's the opposite. And it's easy for us as adults, if you're not 14 anymore, as adults to think like, oh yeah, like that's when I was young and immature in some sort of way, right? But the reality is, as an adult, we typically just, we insulate a lot more. Like when you're 14, you only get to set your own schedule. You don't get to pick the people around most of the day, and you don't feel very good at all sorts of the stuff that you're asked to do. And if I took any of the adults, myself included, in the room and put you in a spot where you didn't get to control your schedule, where you didn't control the people you're around, and where you didn't feel like you were very good at some of the stuff you had to do in front of other people, most of us, myself included, would start to feel a lot more like a 14-year-old about like, I don't know who I am, or like I feel real nervous, or like high highs and low lows, right? A lot of our identity is built on stuff that isn't very stable. And sometimes as an adult, suddenly we lose one of those things that we just assumed was going to be there, right? A relationship or some sort of health or a job, or we get put in a spot where we're no longer the expert, or we get put in a spot where we're, you know, feel like we're not around adults anymore at all or something, you know, like as a parent stuck at home. You get put in these spots and suddenly you're like, I don't know who I am anymore, right? Most of us, even if we're adults, even if we cover it up, we have a hard time really being confident in who we are and that we really are loved, right? We cover that up a lot. But a lot of what drives us is that need to know for sure, like, who we are, and is it enough? And we're going to come to a passage of Scripture today. But before we get there, I want to give you some advice that my sister gave me getting ready for that homecoming dance. So this advice has been really good for me my whole life. I still follow it, try to follow it. But 14-year-old Jake knew nothing about females, and 38-year-old Jake still needs that simple advice, right? Like my older sister was a senior in high school, and at 17 or however old she was, she knew a lot more than I still do about women, right? So here was my sister Audrey's advice when I was getting ready to go to that dance. She said, Jake, you need to notice her earrings, and you need to notice her shoes. That was her simple advice. And the reality is, it was really good advice. I still compliment, obviously Christy was not in high school with me at the time and stuff, but I still remember that advice. Christy's got a lot of compliments on her earrings and her shoes over the years. Because here's what it did for me is, as a 14-year-old at homecoming, I was drawn to try to be impressive, right? And focused on myself, or not focused on earrings and shoes at least, right? If I was being selfish, right? So, but any 14-year-old girl that's going to a dance like has paid attention to those little things, right? And it was a good lesson that my sister gave me of like, notice the other person. Like, notice what they have done, right? And when we come into a situation all full of our own needs and trying to prove ourselves and trying to satisfy ourselves, it's really good advice to say, like, would you just stop for a minute and notice the other person? We stop trying to prove yourself, stop trying to take care of yourself, and just notice something about the other person. And when we come to the Bible, and especially when we're reading stories about Jesus, I want us to stop with our own bundle of needs and our own whatever we came into the Bible with, and try to notice kind of the earrings and the shoes, right? To try to say, like, what's something about Jesus that I can appreciate? Like, can I take a deep breath and do that? So we're going to read in John 13, and if you can go to this next slide, John 13, verse 1 through 11. If you're here last week for Easter, we're talking about there's a shift in the Gospel of John, and John 13 starts that shift from this big public ministry that's going pretty fast timeline to it's going to go super slow now. And we're going to have several chapters that are just within a 24-hour period. And it's going to be this real intimate time with Jesus and his closest disciples. And Jesus is going to teach a lot of really deep things, but in chapter 13, he kicks it off by making a really powerful impression with what he does. And if you're here today, I don't think it's by accident you're here today. I want us to pay attention to how Jesus shows who he is by what he does. So John chapter 13, verses 1 through 11. A little bit, in case you're not familiar with like culture from 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, there's some stuff that's going to come up here, right? This is right around the Passover time. That's a Jewish festival that had to do with a sacrificial lamb and helping the people of God avoid the wrath of God. And it has a lot of precursors to what Jesus is going to do for us. It kind of sets the stage for that. Also, at time of Passover, everybody in that nation was gathered together in Jerusalem. It's this big moment. Jesus and his disciples are sitting down to a meal. And a traditional thing that would happen in Jewish culture back then was washing of feet. And that's not something we normally do in America or even hear about. But back then, when you're walking around in sandals and you're walking on dirt roads, you can imagine how people's feet were. And they had this traditional thing where if it was a proper kind of big meal, normally a servant or like someone of a low status would wash other people's feet. And their feet were just like our feet as far as sweaty and whatever. But then you're walking on a road with a bunch of cows and chickens and horses and whatever else and dirt. So you can imagine like dirty feet, right? People normally don't want to clean that. So that's a little setup. What are we talking about here today? We're talking about Jesus and his disciples, but this is hours before Jesus gets arrested. Hours before Jesus gets beat nearly to death and then nailed to a piece of wood till he dies, right? So leading right up to that, nobody else fully knows what's about to happen, but Jesus does. And this is how he spends kind of his final evening with these disciples here on earth. John chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I'm going to point out just some little things about Jesus as we go. Jesus knew the time, even when most people didn't. And there might be something going on in your life right now that you don't understand. You can trust that Jesus knows what this time right now in April in your life is really about. And Jesus didn't start loving his disciples just at the very end. He wasn't like one of those people that like on their deathbed is like, oh, I'm going to change totally who I am. It says Jesus has been loving them, right? This is not out of character for Jesus, but he's going to spend these last moments showing them that same love, right? Verse 2, the evening meal was in progress. Now, a lot of times we eat like as we're driving somewhere, we eat really fast. Their meals would last a lot longer than ours. But he's in the middle of a meal. Most people are focused on the food or the people around them in the middle of the meal. It says, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. So it's the middle of a meal. One of the guys that's acting like a good friend of Jesus has already been in process for a long time to betray Jesus. Most of us, if we're in the middle of eating, and if we got somebody who's acting like a friend, but who's really about to betray us, most of us, the last thing on our mind is anything like what Jesus is about to do. Verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. All power. Verse 4, so, because Jesus has all power, what's he going to do with it? So, Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus does the job that nobody else wants to do. He sees an opportunity to do this great loving act in the middle of a meal. Most of us, when we're in the middle of a meal, like we're not getting up from the table, right? Most of us, if we've got somebody in the room who's being two-faced to us, we think we're doing really good. We pat ourselves on the back if we just don't say anything smart aleck to them, right? Some of us maybe just feel good if we don't like square up on them, right? Like I've talked to some of you that are like that. Like I didn't square up on them. Like look at how good I'm improving, you know? I just cussed them out. That's a real conversation I've had in this building. I just cussed them out. I didn't square up on them, right? So that's how some of us feel. Jesus washes Judas's feet. I get it's just hard to understand, right? He washes Judas's feet. Jesus has all power, so he washed the disciples' feet. Sometimes we think like, oh man, the people around me, like I could fix all these problems if I just had more money, if I just had some sort of supernatural power. Jesus, when he has all this knowledge and all this power, he does something that all of us could do. All of us could do the job that nobody else wants to do. Something that's super humble, that just shows the people around the room that we care about them. But then I want us to pay attention in verse 6 because we're going to have a really interesting scene here with Peter. Because Peter, in this passage, I feel like is almost like the definition of immaturity. I started talking about myself at 14. Peter very much shows this like immaturity. He's like from one absolute to another. And before we criticize Peter too much, though, can we have the humility to say we're not mature in Christ? Maturity in Christ is being like Jesus is at the start of this, like knowing the Father, being able to actively love people who are actively hurting us, not just even people that hurt us in the past, having all sorts of power and using it to serve other people. I mean, Jesus is showing us what maturity looks like. And when I've been looking at it this week, I just feel really immature. And that's not even bad to look at Jesus and think like, I got a long way to go. That probably means you're seeing a little bit of Jesus if you feel that way, right? So Peter is a little bit inspiring to me in that he acts really immature and Jesus has a lot of patience because he comes with honesty and with eagerness even in the midst of his immaturity. So Jesus comes to Simon Peter in verse 6, who Peter said to Jesus, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, and some of you, this is exactly what Jesus is saying to you today, just this sentence. You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Don't ignore that if the Holy Spirit just knocked that into your heart. But if not, here's my next thought in verse 8. Peter has the audacity to say one word to Jesus that none of us should say, but if we're honest, like we say this sort of stuff to Jesus. Here's what Peter says in verse 8. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet, right? He's just absolutes right away. You know, it does sound like something a teenager would say, right? Like, no, never, right? Just immediately, like, I'll never do that. And it's because Peter thinks he's treating Jesus with so much respect by refusing to do things Jesus's way, right? Like, we can get topsy-turvy. Jesus has some patience for Peter, though, right? Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. You see, none of us get anywhere really with Jesus until we're willing to say, like, Jesus, make me clean. Jesus, I need your help. Things don't get started with Jesus until you say, Jesus, I need you. And Jesus, I'll do it your way. But Peter wants to then run the other direction, right? Just a second ago, he said, never. Well, will you wash my feet? Then in verse 9, then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well, right? Now he's gone the other extreme. Say, like, I just want a whole bath, right? Verse 10, just the patience that Jesus has with him. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. I mean, it's easy to take Jesus and get super spiritual. Jesus is just pretty practical here. Like, Peter, like, calm down, you know? And he says, and you are clean. Now Jesus does get spiritual, though not every one of you. Verse 11, for Jesus knew who was going to betray him. And that's why he said not everyone was clean. There's so much in that passage. I got really stuck this week because there's so much there, like, that you could camp out on. But if we can go back to that image of the earrings and the shoes, I want to point out two small things to you that have just captivated me about Jesus in this. Let's think about all that Jesus does in that scene. And let's pause and think, like, about him. This is really small. I skipped over it while we were reading it. You might not have even noticed it. Jesus got up from that meal and he changed his clothes. Sometimes we'll be driving by somebody on the street and we'll stop and help them if it's, like, super convenient, right? If the light's red, we'll stop and help the guy. But if it's green, it's like, ah, I guess I don't need to help them, you know, right? Like, I don't want to slow down the people behind me, right? Most of us, if there's an opportunity to do something for other people, but it involves getting up and changing our clothes, like, most of us are like, I'm out, you know? Like, it's not the day for that, right? Like, I'm not dressed right, right? Jesus strips down to nearly naked. Like, he gets into, like, his undergarment and then a towel. And in all that vulnerability, he, like, goes around and serves people. And I know that's, like, super small. Like, Jesus is doing so many big things in this passage. But I think about that, of, like, if Jesus is with you in the middle of a meal and some sort of change needs to happen so you can feel loved, like, Jesus will get up and change his clothes. Like, Jesus will get up and make a move. And it's okay if things don't go on schedule or whatever. Like, he's going to take advantage of the opportunity that's there, even if it's a challenge, even if it's not there right in front of him. And very quickly we can run to like, oh, I should be like Jesus. I need to be like Jesus. I should do that too. I should help more homeless people, or I should do this or that thing. Before we race to that, like that's the passage coming up next week. Before we race to that, let's just slow it down and receive like Jesus loves you with the same sort of love that he's loving these disciples. Jesus loves you with the same sort of love. That right in the middle of a bunch of stuff going on, Jesus will take time out for kin, right? I hope so, right, exactly, yeah? That Jesus notices Cassie, right? Here's the last little thing I want to tell you. If that was the earrings, here's the shoes. There's no surprises with Jesus, right? Like it says right there at the end, he knew who was going to betray him. It says right at the beginning, he knew he was coming from the Father and going to the Father. Like Jesus knows everything that's going on. And he chooses to show up and to love in these sorts of ways. And sometimes we're just so fast forward mindset of like, let's get to the big thing, right? And so we'll just like maybe flip through and like, let's get to the cross and the resurrection and to the big stuff, right? But Jesus slows it down and says, I'm going to wash all 10 of those toes on each person, right? There was junk in between everybody's feet. And I bet the rest of their life, all those guys could not look at their feet without thinking about Jesus, right? Like, I bet every time they got something stuck between their toes or their feet are super grimy, they look down and they would, how can you not remember that? Like, that Jesus knew he was about to die on a cross and he took the time to wash my feet. Like, how could that not make an impression on you, right? Some of us have been lucky enough to have somebody show us some sort of act of love that sticks with us, right? And you can go back to it and remember it and remember it. Jesus is the type of person who will love you in that way. If you will pay attention to him, if you'll go by his schedule and his way, he will show up in your life to where little things remind you of him. So, if you guys have been coming for a while, you know I love getting things practical. And so we got this earring and shoe thing. But like, what do we do about it? Like, what do we do when we leave here? Because we all know how our weeks go. Our weeks are super busy. We're racing from thing to thing. We feel tired. And it's really hard to slow down and notice that Jesus loves us. So I got a super simple tip to stick this with you guys of how do you keep thinking about the earrings and the shoes? How do you keep thinking about the stuff that Jesus is doing in your life? So this next slide here is this. Just a stop sign, right? Super simple. We all hate them, right? We don't like them. But what if we flipped it around, right? Because here's the problem for us as a whole group is we're all in a hurry. Like I don't say you all are in a hurry. I say we all are in a hurry, right? And I have a problem with like California stopping, I think is what it's called, right? Where you just like, you kind of like fly through it, right? And I'm not the only person, right? Yeah, some people don't even stop, right? They don't even mean anything, right? It just means look a little harder, right? So what if we did it this week, right? Whether you respect independence, you know, municipalities or whatever, what if you saw those stop signs as like a check on you to say stop and actually come to a full stop? And here's the strange thing about us, because I've tried this out. When you start making yourself come to a full stop, it doesn't, for me, it didn't feel good, right? And it's because I'm in such a hurry. Like, why am I in such a hurry? I don't really have it all figured out, but I can tell you, like, it's not necessarily because I'm late. There's something about the activity that like I need to be more, something like that is inside of me. I don't know if that's the exact phrase, And there's something about the silliness of coming up to a T intersection in a little neighborhood. Something silly about stopping and going that slow. I feel like I'm more important, or like that I got more to do. And that contrary action of like, Jake, just stop. Just stop a few times. Like, there's something sick inside of me that like the stop is helpful. But then, I mean, obviously the stop's helpful just to obey the law and things like that. But what if in that moment you did make it spiritual? If you said like, because I'll tell you, when I was at a dance and I'm trying, I mean, my mind is full, you know, when, as a 14-year-old at homecoming, trying to look cool or whatever. But when I would have to stop myself and remember my sister's advice about like, look at the earrings, find something to say good about them, right? What if you just did that? What if you just stopped yourself and said, I'm going to thank God for something. I'm going to notice something good that God's done. I'm not going to look maybe even very far. Just here today, what can I say thank you to God for? What can I notice, like, God, you've done something good for me right now? Because God's doing awesome stuff all the time. I was in my garden a couple days ago, and I really like a certain type of bird, and they're kind of rare. And I stopped for a little bit because two of those birds, like, were hanging out in the yard for a little bit. And I just stopped and watched them. And I realized, like, there's nothing better or more important than I can do but to notice, like, God made this cool thing and it's here and to thank him for it. And, like, before we get into all this, like, following Jesus and getting super awesome for Jesus, like, I think the thing we need to do most is, like, stop and receive something from Jesus. Like, let something good that he's put in your life, like, come in. Because if we don't have anything coming in from Jesus, then we're not ready to do anything with Jesus, right? Before he gives them all this amazing stuff he's about to tell them, he stopped and washed their feet. Like, he got real practical just into like a, I care about you. And Jesus wants to get right into the grime of your life, get right up close to you and say, I care about you. And until you receive, until Vicky receives that Jesus cares about her, like, it's not time to move on to anything else. Right? So, I'm going to close this out in prayer. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Jesus, every single one of us in this room, we've done something that we're ashamed of. Every single one of us wonders if we're good enough. And my guess is most of us, like myself, we're in a hurry. Jesus, help us this week to slow down and receive and to recognize your love for us. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.